the Sunday morning broadcast. We do want to assure you that we appreciate you listening, and we appreciate your prayers for these broadcasts during these days of lockdown. Just want to remind you of our testimony month. Every Sunday evening of this month of February, there will be testimonies that will be broadcast at 6:30. So do remember that. Do note the time. We want to encourage you to help us make the testimonies known. Tonight, the testimony will be given by our good friend and brother, Pastor Dennis Lyle, who was formerly the pastor in Lurgan Baptist, but is now retired. Next Sunday evening, the 14th of February, Mr. Andrew Foster, missionary to Uganda, will give his testimony. Our brother, Mr. Foster, is at home on furlough just at present. So do remember that. And make the testimony month as widely known as possible for us, please. We do want to say that we're very thankful to our brother, Mr. Ken Hartley, for all the time and work that he puts in to putting these broadcasts together for him or for us. We want Ken to know that that is very much appreciated. And we do want to ask you to pray much for our brother Ken in his labours in the media team as he leads that vital ministry for us. We're coming to read the scriptures this morning. We're in the New Testament. It's the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. We're beginning to read at verse 7. We have a short scripture reading just down to the end of verse 10. So do take the word of God, turn in the scriptures. We encourage you to follow the reading just as if you were with us here in the church for the service. So it's Galatians chapter 6 and the verse 7. Let us hear the word of the Lord to our hearts. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So just ending the reading there at the close of verse 10, we do pray that the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. Let's just take a moment to pray and ask the Lord for his help, for the power of God to come down. Thank you, Father, for thy word. We praise thee for the blessing of the scriptures. We thank you for this book that you've given to us to guide us, to encourage us through these days in which we're found, and to guide us and encourage us, Father, through our pilgrimage here upon this earth. What a blessing it is. We ask thee, Father, to deepen our love for thy word. We want to pray that you'll speak to us today from the scriptures. That would be our earnest prayer. We just simply say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak to all our hearts. Lord, speak clearly, speak widely, even through this message. Continue to bless the broadcasts. We want to remember Brother Ken and all the work that he does as he puts these video broadcasts together for us. Give our brother help. Encourage him in his labours. Remember our whole congregation, Father, just at this time, many with great needs, especially relating to their health. Lord, come and undertake. We pray for a healing touch upon the members of our congregation that are sick and those that grieve. Our prayer, Father, would be that you would draw graciously near to them. So come and touch us now. Give us a touch, Father, from thyself. Touch our hearts, touch our lips, even as we seek to speak for thee just now. We offer these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of our text are found in verse 9 of the passage that we just read from. It's Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The theme of this message, and I trust it will be a word of encouragement to the Lord's people, the theme that we're going to speak upon is a word for those who are weary in the work. George Whitefield, the very famous 18th century evangelist, he said on one occasion, "Lord Jesus, I am weary in the work, but not of it." The great man had become tired in his very extensive labours. And perhaps that's how it is with you today. You're weary in the work of God. The reality, brethren and sisters, is we don't get weary of the work. We never get weary of serving Christ and winning souls for the Master. But we do get tired. We do get weary in the work. We can get tired physically. We can also get tired mentally. There's times we don't have the energy, we don't have the drive, we don't have the zeal that we once had. That word weary, found in our text, has the idea of being disheartened. It has the thought behind it of to lose heart. You don't have the same enthusiasm for the work of God, for the work of the gospel. You've become discouraged. Let me remind you, brethren and sisters, that that is one of the great weapons. That is one of the great wiles that the devil uses against the child of God, the servant of the Lord. So if this is your condition today, if you're disheartened, if you're discouraged in the work, I want you to see that here's a verse. Here's a word from God to encourage your heart. Think again of the text. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So let's consider together a word from God for those who are weary in the work. Notice, first of all, we're told here about the reality of this weariness. The text says, let us not be weary in well-doing. You see, the fact that Paul addresses weariness here in this text shows us clearly that weariness for the child of God, the servant of the Lord, weariness in God's work is a reality. It's not a myth. It's not a notion. It's not a fiction. It's not something that belongs to the realm of make-believe. It's a reality. You think of the Savior sitting on the well at Sychar. Well, ask the question, why did he sit down there? Well, the Scriptures give us the answer, for we're told he was being wearied with his journey. Just think of that. What a lesson. If the Savior got weary, weary in his journey, weary in his labours, and remember that's a proof of his humanity, but if the Savior got weary in his ministry, then so too can you and I. Remember what we're told about David's men. 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. So here were strong fighting men. They were fit. They were trained for battle. But they were too weak. They were too weary to continue in the battle for the Lord at that time. They hadn't the energy that they needed to go on. Remember as well, Gideon's 300 men. The Scriptures tell us an interesting statement. They were faint yet pursuing. It's the same idea. They were still active. They were still pursuing the enemy, but not as vigorously as before. So here's some examples, brethren and sisters, from the Word of God, that weariness is a reality for the servants of the Lord. It comes to most, if not all of us, in God's work. It comes in different ways. It comes at different times. The fact is, think of it carefully, you're mortal, brethren and sisters. It's good to ponder that. Can I stress to you today that the best of men are only men at the best. And there are times we need to have that truth impressed afresh upon our hearts. Think of Elijah. What James tells us about Elijah. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. You are no different from Elijah, from the great man of God. You have the same weaknesses, the same feelings, the same emotions, the same physical experiences that he had. Weariness, brethren and sisters, weariness in the servants, in the service of Christ is very real. Let's ask for a moment, why do you get weary? Well, there are many reasons for that. For one thing, the size of the work. The Savior said, the harvest is plenteous. Think of what we're told by Nehemiah. The work is great. There's so much to be done. Many burdens, many responsibilities, many demands. It can all be so wearying for us. Remember this, brethren and sisters. You're not expected to do everything. The only person that thinks that is yourself. The Savior said, all he asks you is to do what you can. Do what you can yourself in the service of the Master. Another reason why we get weary is because of success in the work. When there doesn't appear to be any success in your labors, when numbers are small, even at times they seem to be declining, when there's no fruit been born, just like the fig tree. Remember, there was nothing but leaves. Or like the disciples, you toil all night and you catch nothing. Those sort of situations, those sort of circumstances, as you labor, you put all your energy, you put your all into the work of God, those sort of responses can cause weariness and discouragement. Remember this, we're to walk by faith. And that includes our labors, brethren and sisters. We labor by faith as well. Only eternity will reveal how the Lord has used your efforts to further his kingdom here upon this earth. Another reason why we get weary in our labors for Christ is speech about your work. Sadly, many times Christians get weary because nobody speaks kindly. Nobody speaks favorably about their work, about their efforts, about their ministry, and how shameful men and women that can be. Christians, instead of being the first to encourage each other, are often the last to encourage each other. We're quick to criticize, but not so quick to commend. Can I remind you of what Paul said in the book of Hebrews, in the context of our assembling together? And we miss the assembling together, the fellowship of God's people. But he said we're to exhort one another. In other words, say something encouraging to some other brother, to some other servant of the Lord. Can I ask you, did you do that lately? Did you say an encouraging word to some other brother, to some other sister? So here's the reality of weariness in the work of God. Think in the second place of the result of this weariness. You think of the end of verse 10. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Focus there for a moment on the word faint. The idea is being loosened. In the scriptures you read of people girding up their loins. For example, Elisha said to Gehazi, his servant, gird up thy loins. He said that to him when he was sending him with the Shunammite woman. The idea of girding up the loins is someone is preparing for work. Someone is preparing for a task at hand. But here, the idea is the opposite. That the thought is loosening, not just of the garments, but of the muscles, the sinews, etc. Can I ask you, has there been a loosening, a slackening in your life, your work, your service? Has that been the outcome of your weariness in the work of God? The work for the Lord is not as important for you as once it was. You don't give it the same priority. You're not serving with the same zeal. You'd have to confess that you've lost your first love for the work of God. Today you're indifferent to laboring for the Lord. The reality, just consider it. The reality is there's a looseness. There is an indifference that has crept into your life, that has crept into your walk with God. Just like the Laodiceans, you're guilty today of being lukewarm. We can go a step further because the word means loosening, especially of the garments, to the point that a person will do no more. The idea is of a person stopping, giving up the work entirely. They're not going to carry on with the work. They have fallen by the wayside. Isn't young John Mark a great example of that? He went not with them to the work. He gave up. He left the mission field, left the mission station, left the missionary team. Remember, brethren and sisters, it's always, always too soon to quit. That's what the devil wants. His chief aim is to get you out of the work, out of the service of the master. So brethren and sisters, you need to beware. Here's something you need to be on your guard with regard to. Here is the serious consequences, the serious results of becoming weary and faint in the Christian life. The final thing I'll emphasize is the remedy for this weariness. You think of the words at the end of verse 9, "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So I want to encourage you, brethren and sisters, today to see, to understand, there's a cure for weariness. This problem can be dealt with. And God has given you the remedy in His Word, especially here in this passage of Scripture. Can I point out to you just that there are a number of steps that can and should be taken in dealing with, addressing that weariness? Let me mention a couple of them to you. You'll see that there's the promise. Remember that this text of Scripture, Galatians 6 verse 9, is a divine promise. The Lord pledges His blessing will come. He assures you that your work will be rewarded. Notice that there is exhortation here. Let us not be weary in well-doing. The Lord exhorts you, and He exhorts you not to get discouraged in your service. There's also expectation here. He says we shall reap if we faint not. So notice that it's certain. It's not that it might be. It's not that we may reap. He says we shall reap. The harvest, brethren and sisters, is sure. It is certain. Just as in the physical, there will always be a seed time and a harvest, so it is in the spiritual. God promises, God pledges that the harvest will come. The other thing that I'll mention that we learn here is patience. There's the promise as part of the cure, but also patience. We're so impatient. The text says in verse 9, "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." So we always need to wait on the harvest. A seed sown, a seed planted, doesn't bear fruit immediately. You must wait on the harvest. James said of the husbandman that he hath long patience as he waits on the fruit of the earth. And so it is, men and women, in the work of God. The harvest will come, be in no doubt of that fact. Souls will be saved. But we need patience in our labours. We need patience, brethren and sisters, because the harvest will come in God's good time. Just in conclusion, there's an old saying. You may be familiar with it. We would often have heard Dr. Paisley use this statement to encourage us. He would have said, "Keep on keeping on." The idea is, don't give up. Don't give up on the work. We emphasized that in the message last Sabbath morning. We're glad it was such a blessing and encouragement to so many. But brethren and sisters, don't give up. It is a good work that you're engaged in. It is a great work. It is God's work. It is the work of the gospel. You're doing great good in your labors and in your service for Christ. God will use you, and He will own you, and He will own your life and your labors. He will own your efforts. So I want you to see, here's a word for those who are weary in the work. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I pray the Lord will bless His word, that He'll use it. Let it be a means of refreshing you and strengthening your hands today in your labors for Christ. We're just going to close in prayer. Father, thank you for our time around the Word. Thank you for breaking to us the bread of life. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll use this message. We pray that you'll make it a blessing to many. Help us, Father, not just to be hearers. Help us to be doers of the blessed Word of God, even as we wait before Thee around the Word and in prayer today, on this Thy day. Lord, strengthen us all for the week ahead, for the labours that You've given to us. We thank You for a part in the work of God. You've assured us that You'll give us the strength that we need. We think of those many promises. As Thy days, so shall Thy strength be. So Lord, give us the power that we need for this incoming week. And our prayer is that You'll bless us and use us and refresh us and make us even instruments of refreshing and revival to this community and to this land. And now may the blessing of the Triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.